Welcome to the Wild to Podcast, where we sit and drink wine and ask ourselves, just what the hell are we talking about?
Well, we sometimes drink other things, but today we drink wine out of a brand new glass that we got at Spirit Halloween, and it is really fucking dope.
It's really cute. You can't quite see it, but it's the Losers Club from Derry, and it's got Maine.
Derry down at the bottom.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I thought about pouring on screen so we could show it off, but I figured probably will finish it and can show them at the end.
Right?
One glass of wine and however long this is going to be.
That's good. Hi, I'm Sammy, also known on the interwebs as the Belladonna Cosplay, and I speak on the weird and the strange because how weird do you want it? Because I can make it really weird.
She can make just about anything weird.
I can make it all weird.
It's a skill she has. And I am Drea, known on the internet as Drea Butt.
She got a big butt.
Because I got one of those. And I do TMI, which is to-do, myth, and invisible stories. Mm-hmm. A.K.A. error, file, not error,
file 404, not found.
File not found in the white man's textbook.
What?
Yeah, mostly things that you don't get taught in Anglo history for various reasons of underrepresentation. But this is the holy month, the month of October, the best time of the year.
It's the most wonderful season of all.
We have been working on replacing all of those lyrics to be Halloween theme.
So far I have. With the kids trick-or-treating and the Grimms all a-reaping and I don't know what else.
We had something.
That's it. It was something with the pumpkins. We'll work on it.
Work in progress.
It's a work in progress. It's
still, feel free to replace
still storyboarding
all of the lyrics and email that to
with
us.
With the kids trick-or-treating and the Grimms all a-reaping and it devolves from there. Yeah. I don't know why I sound like this now that I'm doing the song, but that's fine. That's okay.
I mean, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
I feel like Jodie Foster in Hotel Artemis.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, remember the rules.
Yes.
You got to follow the rules.
Such a good movie.
There's always the rules.
Drea.
I'm squeezy.
Yes.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Mischief Night.
Ooh!
And why we drink Mischief. So much on Mischief. Halloween.
Mischief! So, anybody? Sweeney Todd. Sweeney Todd. Demon Barber of Fleet Street. Mischief! Mischief!
Last year, we covered quite a few topics in October, and I think even in September, because we can never be limited to just four Wowta Wednesdays.
I created my favorite title of ours, which was, Dear David, why is the Ouija board twerking across the room or something like that? Or why does the Ouija board want to watch that ass twerk? Because we had a guest on who was a ghost hunter who had a Ouija board above his bed. And for some reason, the Ouija board kept flying off the wall above the bed. So he moved it to the other side of the room where the Ouija board would have a better view of the bed. And it never flew off the wall again.
It just wanted a better angle.
It wanted to see those cheeks clap.
Yep, yep. Yep.
It's Halloween related, I swear.
Yep. So become a patron subscriber, a patron on Patreon, and you can get access to all of those really fun episodes. We did a variety of cool topics and different histories and religions and the history of trick-or-treating, and there's a whole lot of really great content that we are not going to go over again because we already did it. We did a pretty good job.
We did go over why people are so terrified about poison and razor blades and candy because there was an actual incident that took place where a dad really screwed up some kids' days. Really screwed him up.
It turns out he only wanted to kill his kids, but he was getting a lot of
kids. I know this looks bad, but I was only trying to kill little Timmy.
It was not just the neighborhood.
Just Timmy, not the neighborhood, just Timmy.
Whoo, and pixie sticks.
It was pixie sticks. I can't say that. Timmy was an actual kid that died.
Well, and like his name wasn't spun Timmy, this so. Whole scare of like drugs and candy, yeah. And it's like
razor blades and apples.
Consumes drugs regularly knows that it costs way too much to put them into kids' candy. Right. That's bullshit. No one's giving their stash away.
Who's wasting? Oh my god, our neighbor's got a bar.
What?
Do you see that? They have a bar and a cornhole tables. We gotta hang out with them.
Well, the backyard gonna be lit. That's all we're doing. That's what we're doing for Halloween. We're probably gonna get all dressed up and get on a Zoom with our people that we usually party with. And then we're gonna socially distance hang out with our neighbors that they're we all cool. share like a big yard.
They're even cooler now that they have a bar.
Hell yeah.
What are we talking about?
Mischief night.
Mischief.
What do you know about mischief night?
I know it was a night for, like, asshole kids to just be, like, shitty in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And then some lady put an end to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know.
Mm-hmm. And what popular film references this night?
Mischief Night?
Mm-hmm.
I know Creepshow does.
You're gonna hate it when you, if you don't get it. Also known as The Devil's Night?
Well, Devil's Night was referenced in The Crow.
Hello, yeah. Yes. Ding,
yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Devil's Night was in The Crow. Oh, yeah. So in The Crow, the whole thing was that Shelley and Eric were assaulted and murdered on Devil's Night, and that is what caused him to be able to come back as The Crow.
Yes. Jisk. Yes.
Yes. My favorite movie.
It's so good. Yeah. Yeah. Precisely. All right. Mischief Night is an informal holiday on which children and teenagers engage in pranks and vandalism. You can see how drinking Dicks. Is involved with that. It is known by a variety of names, including Devil's Night, Gate Night, Goosey Night, Moving Night, Cabbage Night, and Mat Night.
Okay, pause. Cabbage Night? Long. Like, yes. Were there actual cabbages involved in Cabbage Night? Do we yes. throw cabbages at people?
Yes. Yes, precisely.
Side note story, because this every year I get so excited about this story, which reminds me from cabbages, now I'm jumping to this. My aunt dated a guy who was well-hated in Lancaster County. Apparently one day he was riding his bike, and it was in October, he was riding his bike and someone threw a pumpkin at him. And it shattered, and he flew off his bike and he went to the hospital, and it was in the local newspaper. Because people did not like
local
man.
Hated man.
Yeah, local hated man. Pumpkin. Smashed with a pumpkin. And when my aunt broke up with him, he's like, Audra, let's not let go of what could be, will be, and is be.
Is be?
Yeah.
And she's like, up.
That's so insane. I'm naming my dog that. And then she named her dog Isby. That's the legacy of this guy. I don't remember his name, but I will always remember him as Pumpkin Guy. Happy Halloween, Pumpkin Guy.
That, well,
cheers to Pumpkin Guy.
Oh, quick fun note. I bought this t-shirt earlier this year because it says, Save Halloween, Self-Quarantine. I bought it because there was no way we were going to have Halloween. And the shirt was printed and I thought, no, definitely not going to have it anywhere, even if you did do it right. And we're not doing it right. So yeah. It's hilarious to me. And then also a Irish Pole Walking Dead Sundays tea. This is where I went to watch Walking Dead at the Irish Pole in Philadelphia.
Which every bar should have done that in the before times.
Yeah.
Every single bar. That is the easiest way to make money. You do a Walking Dead theme menu, mm-hmm. you make zombie drinks, and you cash in on those people that want to be there.
So the Irish Pole is like a wall of taps, like 40-odd taps of craft beer. He would make a giant jello shot of a brain mold, so the thing was like a whole-ass brain, and he would carve chunks off of it to put into shot glasses, and everyone started that, like, when the opening credits ran, we would all take shots of the brain jello shot?
Jello shot?
It was great. And whenever this show wasn't airing, we had trivia on Sundays. We would play the board game that you got. I won a really cool bikini that had zombies on it, like eyes on the tits and then like a gory mouth on the bottom. And I've seen it as like a variety of different products. So it was very, very cool. And I loved going there. So we had our own little culture of people that we would hang out with and watch the show, and it was great. So Hooray! This is a Wikipedia article, by the way. There's so much information on Wikipedia, I didn't have to go much of elsewhere
it's for a lot
Wikipedia.
Of... It's on Wikipedia. It's true. Of true.
These...
My favorite line from Jennifer's body.
It's on the Wikipedia.
So, vandalism and pranking.
Hey!
Date is the 30th of October through November 4th. That window.
Okay.
Depending on where we're talking. All right.
Okay.
Historical background. Historical background. The earliest reference to Mischief Night is from 1790.
Ooh.
When a headmaster encouraged a school play, which ended in an ode to fun which praises children's tricks on Mischief Night in most approving terms.
Okay, well, that teacher is awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, kids, let's go fuck shit up.
Yeah. The play ends with, go Mischief Night.
Go, be excellent, and fuck shit up.
And fuck it up. Hell yeah. But, I mean, headmasters are not notorious for being
Was that
cool.
teacher about to lose their job or, like,
On
die?
The way out.
Like, I'm dying of dysentery. Go fuck shit up. Who cares?
I won't make it to Christmas. Let's
I
make this
I hate
fun.
Gomer's farm. Go steal their cabbages.
Oh,
what else would they be doing in 1790? Stealing cabbages.
And pumpkins. In the United Kingdom, these pranks were originally carried out as part of the May Day celebrations, but shifted to later in the year, dates varying in different areas, some marking it on the 30th of October, the same, night before Halloween.
Same with Jesus' birthday.
Yeah. It just Let's flips just move it. For when it's convenient and the people want to observe. So from the 30th of October to the 4th of November, the night before Bonfire Night.
Fan of that night.
Huh?
I'm a fan of that night.
Yeah.
Legally, we have to celebrate Bonfire Night. And when the cops show up, we'll tell them that it's an actual celebration.
Hell yeah. Hell
I
yeah.
I can do this.
According to one historian, May Day and the Green Man had little resonance for children in grimy cities. They looked at the opposite end of the year and found the ideal time, the night before the gunpowder plot.
Remember the 5th of November. Gunpowder treasons and plot. I know no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
So you want to fuck it up at that time of year? Made more sense. However, the shift only happened in the late 19th century and is described by the Opies as one of the mysteries of the folklore calendar. One of the mysteries is that Mischief Night shifted from May Day to Halloween. It just made more sense. So, name variations in the United States and Canada. In most of New Jersey, as well as in New Orleans, Philadelphia, Eastern Pennsylvania, Delaware, parts of New York State, and Connecticut, it is referred to as Mischief Night, or particularly in the Great Lakes region, Devil's Night.
Love it.
In some towns in northern New Jersey and parts of New York State, it is also known as Goosey Night. Hate
Goosey
that.
Or goosing?
Goosey. Meanwhile, in Baltimore, Maryland,
oh God.
It has traditionally...
Oh God. Every night is Mischief Night in Baltimore.
It has traditionally been referred to as moving night due to the custom of exchanging or stealing porch furniture and other outside items.
That's every night in Baltimore, though. That's just Baltimore.
Snatching
if you're not chaining
deck
it
chairs.
To your deck, it's gone.
In Detroit, which was particularly hard hit by Devil's Night arson and vandalism throughout the 1980s, many citizens take it upon themselves to patrol the streets to deter arsonists and those who may break the law.
Do they dress up when they do this?
I don't think
so. Oh my God, these vigilantes in Detroit being like, I wish you would.
This is known as Angel's Night. Some 40,000 volunteer citizens patrol the city on Angel's Night, which usually runs from October 29th through October 31st.
This is Detroit, right?
Detroit, yes.
Bunch
Around
of
the time
angry moms.
Most Halloween festivities are taking place. So they turned it into Angels Night because they're out patrolling. In rural Niagara Falls, Ontario, during the 1950s and 1960s, Cabbage Night, which in French is Nuit de Choux, referred to the custom of raiding local gardens for leftover rotting cabbages and hurling them about to create mischief in the neighborhood. Today, the night is still celebrated in Ontario, but is also commonly known as Cabbage Night in parts of the United States, areas of Vermont, Connecticut, Bergen County, New Jersey, upstate New York, northern Kentucky, Newport, Rhode Island, and western Massachusetts.
And it still involves cabbages, right?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
It started with throwing cabbages. The rotting ones.
My cabbages!
My cabbages! Vandalism and pranks. It is known as Gate Night in New Hampshire, West Kootenay, which is in British Columbia, Vancouver Island, Winnipeg, Thunder Bay in Ontario, Bay City in Michigan, Rockland County in New York, North Dakota, and South Dakota. The implication is that the gates of hell open the night before Halloween, as Mat Night in English-speaking Quebec, and as Devil's Night in many places throughout Canada, Michigan, and western Pennsylvania.
Wow. I did, my entire childhood growing up in Pennsylvania, there is always this idea of Devil's Night and the witching hour and how, like, there was a portal to hell in York. Like, all of us kids were told there was a portal there. And that was part of the lore, is that you don't go to York around Halloween. You just don't do it. You never go to York. York is a terrible place. York is hell. But we all just grew up with this idea of Satan having dominion in York, Pennsylvania.
Okay, in the United Kingdom. In some parts of the country, Mischief Night is held on the 30th of October, the night before Halloween. The separation of Halloween tricks from treats seems to have only developed in certain areas, often appearing in one region but not in all nearby regions. Mischief Night is known in Yorkshire as Mischievous Night, or the shortened Chivas Night, Miggy Night, Tic Tac Night, Corn Night, Trick Night, or Mickey Night, and is celebrated across northern England on the 4th of November in some areas of Yorkshire. It is extremely popular among 13-year-olds, as they believe it is some sort of coming-of-age ceremony.
You could just drink a beer and, like, kiss a girl.
Boring. Boring. Unimaginative. You must cause pranks and vandalism. In and around the city of Liverpool, Mischief Night is known locally as Mizzy Night. Contemporary practice in the United States. Mischief Night is generally recognized as a New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Michigan phenomenon.
Accurate.
Yes. Mischief Night tends to include popular tricks such as toilet papering yards and buildings, powder bombing and egging cars, people, and homes, using soap to write on windows, forking yards.
Oh God, I've had my yard forked.
I almost tried to look up forking yards, and I decided you probably would have a story, nope. And you do.
I got my yard forked. It was between us and the other homeschool kids. So they forked our yard, and then we put flamingos all over their yard. And then they teepeed us, and then because they were a family of redheaded people, we procured a bunch of redheaded Barbie dolls and stuck them all through their yard. Naked.
What? Wow. That escalated.
Stripped them all down.
Wow. Woo! Started with forking. Forking, yep. Leads to crazy stuff.
Forking, folks. Is crazy. There's been at Central PA, there was an influx of pranks happening all the time. Like attempts to cow tip, painting on things, like those erasable paint things all the time on stuff. Like there was nothing else to do. It was a bunch of farm kids. And they just fucked with each other all the time.
Thus, Mischief Night. Forking yards, setting off fireworks, and smashing pumpkins and jack-o'-lanterns. Or throwing them at people on bicycles.
And throwing them at people in Lancaster County.
Local grocery stores often refuse to sell eggs to children and teenagers around the time of Halloween for this reason. Occasionally, the damage can escalate to include spray painting buildings and homes. Less destructive is a prank known as Knock Knock Ginger. I know what you're thinking, and the answer is yes.
No comment.
Knock Knock Ginger, also known as Knock Down Ginger, Ding Dong Ditch, Chap Door Run, Knock Knock, Zoom Zoom, and numerous variants, is a prank or game dating back to 19th century England, or possibly the earlier Cornish traditional holiday of Nick and Nan Night.
Nick and Nan.
And I have a little bit of a rabbit hole there if we want to go Nick down.
Nick and Nan.
It. But, Yeah, it's got so many names.
Have you ever seen that video of the chick attempting to ding dong ditch and she slams into the ground?
No.
She's like, and then goes to run, but she's in flip flops, and then her flip flops trip and she just smacks into the ground. It's hilarious.
Do not wear flip flops when you need to sprint from a standing position. Lesson.
Take your flip flops off. It's
wear different shoes. I mean, I guess you could spontaneously decide you need to go do this, but usually you have, like, some idea that you're gonna do it. So wear shoes that are attached to your feet well so you can run. Good. Woo. Could have told her that one. All right. In New Orleans, or Nolens.
Nolens.
Or New Orleans.
NOLA.
NOLA. In recent years, Mischief Night has included a series of unruly parade-like riots.
Riots?
Riots.
I would expect that from certain parts of PA before I would NOLA.
Riots! According to participants, the Mischief Night crews, which they use crews for their Mardi Gras parades, follow in New Orleans Carnival's centuries-old tradition of walking parades, which mostly transpire in the lead-up to Mardi Gras. Mixing revelry with mindless violence, Mischief Night paraders involve thematic floats and costumes, as well as targeted vandalism and fires.
Okay, do you remember watching How's Is October Built with me?
What happened?
How's Is October Built is about a group of friends that are on this cross, quote-unquote cross-country, but they're, like, roaming around the South trying to find a terrifying haunt.
Mm.
And they're getting, like, notes at different haunted houses they go to of, like, Blue Skull or something that's supposed to be this underground haunt thing that you can only find in the backwoods. And so they're told to go to New Orleans, and slight spoiler alert, but not, because it's a haunted, it's a scary movie. They're in New Orleans the night before Halloween, and they get fucking jumped in an alley by a giant bunny man, a little girl in a broken porcelain doll face, two, like, hillbilly guys, and, like, a couple other, like, spookster kind of things, and nobody cared.
Like,
nobody cares.
No.
But it's just because that's New Orleans. They're just like, all right, that's cool, happening in the alley. He's just getting dragged away. That's fine.
I mean,
the crowds there, I don't think I'll ever go there because the crowds are so terrifying. Like, someone could stab and kill you and walk away. That's how wild it is.
That's not the Halloween I want to have.
No. Which is why that movie is so good and that scene is awesome, because really, that was just a normal night in New Orleans.
Right.
They didn't even have to hire extras. It was just there.
That's great. We just took a bunch of B-roll of what was going on in the streets and just got some waivers scribbled upon. We're good. We're good. Awesome. I
love that movie.
Kind of
so
remember
much.
It. We'll have to watch it again.
Or the bunny shows up and he's just hopping.
Really?
And he's covered in blood.
I need another watch of this because I don't remember that in particular. I remember the theme, but I don't remember that happening, and I definitely want to see that happening.
He's got, like, razor-sharp teeth. It's a scary costume. I would love to have this costume to own. And it's just blood and rips and stuff, and he's just hopping.
Love it. Love it. Targets of vandalism, attacks, and arson have included the police, innocent bystanders, and property.
I think one out of those three I care about.
When asked in an interview from 2017 how Mischief Night in New Orleans fits into the context of Carnival, a parader replied, "Our Carnival traditions are those that exactly want to turn the world upside down. After a parade through downtown in 2016 that saw bonfires in the street, police cars hit with paint, and a now removed white supremacist monument chipped away at with a sledgehammer."
Yay!
Another participant wrote, "There is no longer a middle ground. That's been seized for luxury condos. The choice is stark. We either collectively build a more combative, spiritual practice, or we collude in ceding our ritual spaces of encounter to the oppressors."
What if we made a Mischief Night zone? Like, just a specific area that's dedicated to Mischief Night where people can just lose their shit.
I think the point of it is either the randomness or the very specific target.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as close as we get to Purge in our society.
Maybe not hurting innocent bystanders, but chipping away at Confederate statues is pretty dope.
Hell yeah. I love that it's gone now. In some areas of Queens, New York, Cabbage Night has included throwing rotten fruit at neighbors, cars, and buses. This is terrifying. Queens? Children and teenagers fill eggs with neat and nair, hair remover, and throw them at unsuspecting individuals.
That is so New York. That is...
Oh, you like your hair?
Wild! Wait, they fill the eggs? Wait, so are kids, like, sitting with fucking syringes, filling eggs with nair?
Or, like, making a hole that you can pour into? This is why college
should be free. Because these kids are out of this world talented.
They need an outlet.
They need an outlet.
In the mid-1980s, garbage was set on fire and cemeteries were set ablaze. In Camden, New Jersey... Don't go there.
Don't go to Camden.
Mischief Night escalated to the point that in the 1990s, widespread arson was committed, with over 130 arsons on the night of October 30th, 1991.
How old were you then?
In 91?
Yeah.
4. I was 4.
Okay.
Yeah, it couldn't have been me.
That tracks. All right.
Couldn't have been me.
Couldn't have been you.
I've never set anything on fire. I've never committed arson.
So we only had fires in Camden in 90.
That was like the bad patch.
I was going to say, I feel like there was like a fire yesterday.
The 90s. 90s had widespread arson and 91 was that night that they had the most. But also in
arson night.
New Orleans, they had a ton of fires there too. In popular culture. In the 1994 film, The Crow, the protagonist and his fiancé are murdered on the eve of their Halloween wedding on Devil's Night by a street gang.
Sorry.
On the orders of Detroit's most notorious crime lord, Top Dollar. With the help of a mystical crow, Eric returns from the grave on Devil's Night 1 year later to exact revenge against the crime lord and his henchmen. Detroit!
Yeah.
I never really knew where it was set. Or at least I thought it was
like a Gotham-esque fake city.
It felt like Gotham. Yeah. That's for damn sure.
So, for those who don't know it, Brandon Lee, during the scene that him and his partner are attacked, that's when he dies. It's one of the first scenes. No, it's not one of the first scenes in the movie, because it's in the flashback that you see it happen.
Ah, yes.
During the beautiful becoming of the crow scene and the playing of The Cure. But that's when he gets shot. And it's crazy, because...
Because if you're brand new to this, he died making that movie because he actually got shot.
It was wild. The actor died. The actor that shot him, I think, died in the last couple of years.
Really?
Yeah. And it's been hard for him his entire life.
How do you handle that?
Right.
Being given a prop and it being actually loaded and actually being the cause of someone's death, let alone someone so talented.
I think there was something, it's been a while since I've looked into it, but it was like a malfunction with the blank. Something happened with it. I don't think it was a live round. I think it was something that was wrong with the blank, and something went wrong with it, and it shot him in the abdomen.
Woof. Woof.
Hollywood is dangerous.
It is. It is. Do your homework. Don't skimp on your props.
Stop killing stunt people, for the love of God. Anyway, what are we talking about?
We're talking about popular culture and Mischief Night. In a 1999 episode of Rocket Power explores the joys of Mischief Night in The Night Before.
Am I the only one that just had the Rocket Power theme start playing in their head?
I don't know the Rocket Power theme.
Dun, 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 dun. Rocket Power!
I do remember the Rocket Power! But that's it. I don't know anything else about it.
I love Rocket Power.
In 2006 film, Mischief Night is based on events surrounding this night in Leeds, UK. A horror film was released in 2013, Mischief Night, directed by Richard Shankman. A different horror film was released in 2018, also called Mischief Night, and was directed by Travis Baker. And then finally, in pop culture, Orange is the New Black. In season 6, episode 5, the main characters of Orange is the New Black are subjected to pranks throughout the episode because of Mischief Night.
Yes.
Fabulous. Knock Knock Ginger, also known as Knock Down Ginger, Ding Dong Ditch, Chap, door, run, knock, knock, zoom, zoom, and numerous variants is a prank or game dating back to 19th century England, or possibly the earlier Cornish traditional holiday of Nick and Nan Night. The game is played by children in many cultures. It involves knocking on the front door or ringing the doorbell of a victim, then running away before the door can be answered.
Pretty simple instructions. Not that hard to follow, folks.
Happens all over the world. Being able to run away is part of the two-step process there.
It's two steps.
The name Knockdown Ginger, or Knocky Door Ginger, used in parts of southern England, comes from an English poem. Ginger, ginger broke a winder, hit the winda crack. The baker came out to give him a clout and landed on his back.
I need to hear that in an English accent. We'll make
Knox Someone
Pippin.
Else do it?
We'll make Knox Pippin do it.
The game, in various forms, is known by different names geographically, including the following. Knock Out Ginger, South Wales. Knock a Door Run or Knock a Door Run Away, Northern England. Ding Dong Ditch, United States and Canada. Chicky Melly or Chap Door Run.
It's such weird
Or name. Chappy, the which
weird
is...
Weird words.
Scotland.
Oh, okay.
Knock and Run doesn't say the country. Knick-knack in Ireland. Cherry knocking in the United Kingdom, late 20th century. Nicky Nicky Nine Doors, Canada and the United States. Oh no, I cannot say that one. N-word knocking, offensive, used by some Americans. I didn't read that far originally. I just skimmed over the names.
I mean, it makes sense that some Southern Americans would use that for the term of something like that. Like, there's... oh, boy.
When in doubt, oh, it's
when
probably
When in doubt,
racist.
It's racist.
Ring and Run, United States. I don't know if I can pronounce that. There's Netherlands and Flanders. Belletje Trekken or Belletje Trek in Netherlands and Flanders, respectively. Knock and Nash, Cumbria, United Kingdom. Nick Knocking in Australia. Talk Talkie in South Africa. I can't speak French, so Son de Cri in Quebec. Rin Rin Raja in Chile. Bell Tue. Bell means ding and Tue means run in Korean.
Okay.
It's everywhere.
Okay.
Kids always do this.
Of course we ruin it. We yeah. as Americans ruin it. It's got normal ass names in every other country. I mean, except for the ginger thing, but everything else is just reference to ringing a bell and running away.
But no.
No, we gotta
not in
make
the
it
south of United States.
We gotta fuck it up. God bless America. Thousand yard stare.
Yeah. Yeah. Approves. Alright, on the subject of legality of this game.
There's nothing legal about it.
Victims of this prank are not likely to call the police, but if they decide to, the prankster can face charges of trespassing and disturbing the peace. In England and Wales, trespassing is a civil matter rather than a criminal one, and the police will not compile a case for a victim. However, under the Town Police Clauses Act of 1847, it is a criminal offense to willfully and wantonly disturb any inhabitant by pulling or ringing any doorbell or knocking at any door, punishable with up to 14 days imprisonment.
What?
In Scotland, although the Land Reform Scotland Act of 2003 establishes universal access rights, the so-called right to roam is only permitted where the privacy of others is respected. Such errant behavior could be regarded as the Scottish common law criminal offense of malicious mischief.
Wow.
Michael Bishop, a 56-year-old man in Louisville, Kentucky, shot at a group of children playing Ding Dong Ditch at his house on 13th of June 2011. A 12-year-old boy was hit in the back with a shotgun blast, and the boy was taken to Kosair Children's Hospital with what police call non-life-threatening injuries. The shooter was charged with attempted murder. Well, that's a relief.
Thank God. How many times? How many times in the South?
Louisville, Kentucky, y'all.
I think there was a guy in recent years who shot a kid who got lost asking for directions
yes.
and got off.
Yes.
Because
yes.
the kid was quote-unquote trespassing. He was just looking to get home.
On December 8th of 2015, his final day in office, outgoing Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear issued 197 pardons, including a pardon for Michael Bishop, which is the man who shot the kids. You wanted me to get into it. A 14-year-old Oklahoma teenager, Cole Payton, was shot in the back and arm while playing Ding Dong Ditch in the early hours of New Year's Day in 2016. And that's all it has on this game.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
Is there... Okay, well, hang on. The whole... The beginning thing with the gingers, I guess, which I would like to do an episode on the origins of why people are so against redheaded people.
Yeah.
And
I'm here for it.
Gingers
have no soul.
Yeah, all of that, or the redheaded stepchild, and how all of that began, and its relation. I think it's very much related to the Irish too. I think it was a huge derogatory thing with Irish folks as well.
Humans
suck.
Wow. Yeah, we can be pretty fucking terrible. All right, ready to talk about drinking?
Yeah. Oh, we should share college stories. Halloween stories are the best. Stories. Unless you went to Penn State and you had state patties, those were the best stories. But college Halloween, yeah.
I didn't get to celebrate Halloween. So getting to dress up didn't happen until college. And then it was in Miami where the trope of everybody wears a sexy version of something was carried to the most because you're in Miami and you don't need to wear clothes. It's hot. It's hot. Why? All the fucking costumes were sexy versions of something and skimpy and not much there. I think my first Halloween, I was a sexy referee.
I was going to say, what is the wildest sexy costume you've done?
I think sexy referee. I bought that
sexy
one.
Sexy ref?
Wait. I think one of the outfits that I had forever was technically a Halloween costume, which was like burgundy and like camo green, where it was a little top that had like little buttons with chains across it, and then like a little skirt, and it was supposed to be like slightly military-esque, but that was it. There was no other connection to what it was.
Sexy army dude.
I put a fucking, like, you know those hats that you wear at winter that have like the fur on the inside?
Yeah.
And it's like the top part is flapped up and you have the ear flaps. I put that on top of it and just did grungy makeup and...
That's innovative. I like
If anyone asked me any questions, I said something like aviator or something.
I like
because
that.
I was not going to have, like, a military or a country that I identified with, so I was just like, I'm a fucking pilot.
I like how you and I have had similar experiences at different times of the things that we've done, because yes. I did Devil's Advocate, where I had a red businessy jacket.
Oh, God. Yes.
And underwear, and that was it. And I was Devil's Advocate.
That reminds me of CEOs and
something,
corporate hose, where it was literally lingerie, a white button-up shirt that was open, and a tie on top of it. I went to the club in that and lost the tie and the shirt and just went home in lingerie.
We crashed a CEO hose and corporate hose party in college, my best friend and I. I was in a red dress, she was in a cheetah print dress, and all the other bitches at the party were wearing, like, white button downs, like
secretary
underwear
stuff.
Yeah, like all of that. And it supposedly was a fraternity and sorority mixer that we just showed up at, and we're rolling around the party and we were also the only minorities there, so we stood the fuck out. But everybody was so drunk.
In your red dress and cheetah print dress while everyone else is in white button-ups, like high-waisted skirts.
My best friend's Ecuadorian, so we're both very, very much brown. But everyone's so blasted that they're not paying attention to us. We're taking drinks, we're dancing, we're fucking
infiltrate.
Around. Like, the only time someone said something was when we went into the bathroom, and one girl was like, what sorority are you in? And we were like, we're in the sorority, shut the fuck up, how about that? And she was like, oh, come on, let's go. And, like, ran out of the bathroom.
Bye-bye, white girl.
That was it. I mean, I was kind of nasty in college, but also, like, the fraternities and sororities at Penn State were very racist, so we just kind of just did our fucking thing.
Love it. All my shit was out. Like, there wasn't, I mean, very, very, very few house party kind of situations, mostly going out.
Nice.
Dressed up as, or even better, if you go down to the Keys, because in Miami you're very close to the Keys, Key West was insane. Just insane. And I think that there was a theme park or just a theme night. Nope, it was a theme night because everybody flooded the streets. And you could be wearing literally anything. I have a picture on my phone that I saved where it was like tiny little black boy shorts, this like super sparkly gold top, the same fucking aviator hat from before, and me all, like, practically titties out because this is, like, just got into college and just got on birth control.
Freshman year so,
like,
was the most
tight little body, but, like, my curves were really coming in. And I'm, like, sitting there holding on one of the little ear flaps going, like, And my best friend at the time, who's still a really beautiful, gorgeous, dear friend of mine, was like, if anybody asks, just say you're Amelia Earhart. And I was like, done. She dressed me, by the way. Yeah. Shout out to my best artist friend, Cynthia, who is fucking still in Miami.
That sounded like Cynthia.
Yes, it was. Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Man, it's freshman year is when you have the titties out the most. And then sophomore year is when you start getting creative about having your titties out. Mm-hmm. Junior year is when, like, you've mastered it, and then senior year, you don't give a shit anymore.
Right.
You show up in fucking jeans, and you wish
you,
a motherfucker
you
would.
Haven't bought anything new.
Yeah.
Because it's whatever, and you got enough shit in your closet to put something together. I think the only one that I was ever, like, actually ashamed of was, like, a very bullshit sexy cat costume. Where all I had was ears, and I drew, like, a nose and whiskers and wore all black. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't even know if I attempted a tail. I was like, I got an ass, why do I need a tail? It was, like, the least amount of effort, and that's the only time that I've really been sad about what I did on Halloween, and the rest of it I just, like, rolled with it.
I felt super shame from going to a hobo party, which was kind of, in hindsight, is very fucked up. We did a sexy hobo party. Yeah.
Who comes up with that?
I don't fucking know,
Whose
man.
Idea is that?
Penn State is terrible. Man, all of us black kids were segregated to the same dorm. Called fucking Pennypacker, mind you. Why would you put all the black kids in a dorm called Pennypacker? Like, are you asking for a lawsuit? I digress. We had Sexy Hobo Party, which was insane. And there was a couple other ones that really fucked up. But,
Why?
Why?
Por qué? You could have... I mean, in Miami, we would have hurricane parties.
Yeah.
They made a party over anything and everything. Like, that was just kind of the college experience. Is ABC. Any reason is a reason to get drunk together.
ABC parties were fun. The anything but clothes parties. Did you not have those?
No. Because we were naked all the time. It was Miami. Like, we literally walked around on the sidewalk, in the streets, so in bikinis. There was no reason to have an excuse to not wear clothes. We just didn't wear them.
It was a week before. Like, Halloween was, like, a week-long thing at Penn State.
Hell yeah.
Was, like,
as it always should be.
And we had the ABC party where you had to create a costume that was anything but clothing. So everything you wore had to be objects that couldn't be considered clothes. And I did a trash bag one year with a bungee cord. And that was my costume.
What? And what did you call this costume? What were you?
Trash.
But make it sexy with a belt.
Trash.
Fuck
it. And my shoes were fucking boxes. Like,
speaking of box shoes and pulling back to what I said about the referee, that was the first Halloween in Miami, and I was going out with some friends as a baby freshman and never going out. Had worn some heels that I couldn't last the night in, and was hanging out a group of friends, and the guy was nice enough to be like, I think we were at his house at some point, so he was like, just borrow my shoes. And this man had, like, basketball player size 13 shoes.
So I'm like, this, Alana, like,
black and white vertical stripes with, like, a cute little ruffle right under my booty, little outfit. I think I had a red card and a yellow card because soccer was, like, the theme there, and I had a whistle. And then I had these giant
fucking clown shoes,
basketball player size tennis shoes on that I was shuffling down the street in, right? And this is where the quote happened. The quote, one of the best quotes I received in undergrad. Shuffling down the street, and I hear a man, likely homeless, sitting on the ground back behind me as we walk past, and he goes, "Damn, girl, you've been eating them collard greens." And I went, "Yes, I have. Thank you." And shuffled along.
Wow. Side note, we respect the fuck out of the homeless population in America.
Yes.
We've made two references to people being homeless.
One bad day away from being homeless.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of this. Yeah. Like, unless you have a really great
side note
savings fund or emergency fund, and even then, one bad day away from being homeless.
I've been homeless.
Shit sucks. Very close.
Anyway, sorry. Just want to make a note of that.
Right. No, no hate at all. Tons of respect. I know there are people who choose to stay in that kind of a place, but almost all of them,
a lot of them don't have
access. A majority of them would would wish for better. Would not take a job and stability.
Some have jobs. That's what's rampant now in America is that people are employed and are fucking homeless. It's insane. I will respect someone who is homeless any fucking day than a CEO or a president of a company. Hello. Any day. They have my respect over them.
And I'm way more likely to give you money if your sign is comically saying that you're actually going to spend this on drugs or alcohol, because that's where most of it goes. You know, like, I understand that's part of it is you want to tell me your car broke down and you need money for your alternator. Literally happened today. If you have a sign that's like, need money for booze, will work for booze, something along those lines. Oh God, I remember there was one exit in Philly where this guy had like some really fucking hilarious signs and he was known for hanging out there like, credit card's fine, like some, I'll take the credit card, how about I take the car for a spin? Like these like clever little things that you would obviously never give into, but it was his... His sense of humor, and he literally sat there with, like, this giant
smile. He probably has a liberal arts degree.
Literally sat there with a giant smile on his face of, like, this is hilarious. I think that this is funny. Like, obviously, none of this is going to work as, like, a scam, but mostly me just, like, if I make you laugh, then maybe you'll be inclined
legitimately, to help. He probably had a liberal arts. I'm not going to be kidding on that, because most of us don't have fucking jobs by now. So, fucking country.
What are we talking about?
I think... One last thing before we get back into the Halloween drinking and all that. But because it's relevant right now, the whole defund the police. One of the main reasons for defunding the police is so that we can allocate that money to programs to help our homeless population. Programs.
Housing.
Like,
being housing, able to give them, provide them with resources rehab. In order to get their lives together. Or even access to resources to be able to apply. Some people cannot afford... to go find a job because you have to get a wardrobe, you have to be able to print off those materials for your resume or access to the internet for all of that. Like, if you don't have a stable place where you can have those, you have to pay in order to get those, in order to just apply.
It's expensive, like, looking for a job. It is very expensive.
Yes.
Like, especially if you live in cities.
Yes.
Or live outside of a city and you're trying to get a job in one. Like, it's insanity. And... again, back to that point that a lot of homeless people already have jobs, housing, all of this shit is insanity. And if we stopped paying fucking overtime to goddamn cops, we could actually help resolve this.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking for a job is a job. I remember when I lost my job, when I got sick, my boss decided he wasn't going to pay me. Mm-hmm. I told him I was in and out of the ER. I went to the ER about like 5 or 6 times in 1 week. Mm-hmm. It was insane. And I told my boss, like, I'm incredibly sick. I'm in and out of ER. I might have to get radiation. Like, this is a whole thing. He just stopped paying me.
He literally said, don't worry about it. It's medical or something. And then literally didn't give you anything at all.
Just overnight, I ended up negative $650. Overnight. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yep.
And he was just like, legally, I don't have to pay medical leave. That was his excuse. Right before I went into radiation therapy, because that was October, and I had radiation... towards Thanksgiving, he fucking texted me and he's like, hey, how you doing? Been thinking about you. I sent him a screenshot of my negative 400 balance and said, this is because of fucking you.
Hello.
And looking for jobs after that was pure fucking insanity. I applied. I still have job applications sitting on LinkedIn. I had over like 120 job applications on LinkedIn and none of them would get back to me, or they'd get back to me months later. It's crazy. And then getting into DC, using the Metro, those days where I had to scrounge quarters to get on the fucking Metro, it is unimaginable just in the DMV, let alone across this fucking country.
Yeah.
And we're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to pensions for police officers. Hey, I don't know if you know this, but we're paying the pension of a police officer that let a little boy go back to Jeffrey fucking Dahmer and die. And they made fun of the kid because he tried to get away. That's a future episode. Sorry for the rant, folks, but, like, this...
strikes a chord.
It strikes a fucking chord. That's why we say defund the fucking police.
It was bad before we had a global pandemic.
Yeah.
That we don't take seriously enough.
Anyway, what are we talking about?
What are we talking about? Why we drink on Halloween and how big that's gotten.
Welcome, this is what happens on our show.
That's why we say, what are we talking about? How Halloween became one of the biggest drinking holidays of the year. Now, this article was published in 2017. This is before Time Stats, but even like a couple years earlier, so you can only imagine the projections for last year's and how totally fucked they are for this year's. Earlier it was Wikipedia, and this is an article on VinePair.com, which is something I subscribe to because I used to sell wine for a career for like 6 years. Not no more. Sales of adult-sized Halloween costumes are at an all-time high. Theme parks, usually overrun by overstimulated tykes, host a different sort of clientele come October 31st. A boozy, over 21 crowd. And liquor companies are taking note. I love Halloween nights takeovers of theme parks where it's all
Hershey Halloween
booze and scares. Field of Screams is something we don't get to do this year, and that's something we've done so many years together.
Getting shit-faced at Field of Screams is the best. Getting drunk at, I forget the name of it, there's a mansion here in Virginia. It's a big thing. Shocktober.
Yes! Shocktober.
The guys from Ghost Adventures are taking over it this year.
I can't wait for it to be safe to go back to these things. Because this is like a staple of October for us as many times as possible. Get like, I don't think that we do the same one over and over, but we do as many as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do that this year.
That's the best. My nostalgia for Pennsylvania is being drunk at Field of Screams.
Yeah.
And just fucking around at the different...
The best time of Pennsylvania in that general area is the end of summer into fall. Fair into spooky.
Halloween like, days and spooky nights!
That's the whole prime time to be there. Alright. What are we talking about? Drinking. And Halloween. According to the National Retail Federation, a staggering 72%... Yes. Yes. This is where they pull all their stats for. Like, the whole alcohol industry pulls their stats from these folks and a couple of other resources.
That's cool.
A staggering 72% of U.S. adults will celebrate Halloween this year.
Fuck yeah.
2017. No, yeah. Compared to just a 59% in 2007. So, like, a decade later, it went from 59 to 72.
I wonder if that is something to be said about how the horror industry had evolved between those years. Because Halloween Horror Nights at Universal got way better in that time period. The film industry got way better within horror. Like, from 2007, like, horror movies were, like, shit in the early 2000s. So being able to get better and get a better audience, I think that...
Yeah, and we talk about how haunted houses, the history of haunted houses and how all that entailed in our previous episodes available on Patreon. So definitely... Go be a member at any tier and get access to last year's Halloween episodes that are very, very dope.
We talk about haunted houses that push the fucking limits. There's a place that will
And why pay we have you. Regulations because of how bad it got.
They'll pay you to go through the haunted house if you can make it to the end and not use the safe word.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
It's so bad.
There's like maybe some people?
Simulated assault happens in those houses.
There's waivers.
Yep.
27 pages,
legal documents. 20, like over 27 to 30 pages of legal documents you have to sign before going in the haunted house.
Yeah.
That's one of the places you cannot drink at.
Better not have any traumas.
To get in, all the guy who owns it, all he says is bring dog food to donate. That's it. Donate some
and
dog
it's
food.
Like it's a like a cash prize if you're able to make it like through because it's so terrifying and no one can do it.
They bury you alive.
There's a lot. For sure. Yeah, so become a patron on Patreon and go find those episodes because they are legit. And we have too much subject matter to get into them any further. Okay. Across industries, Halloween spending has ballooned from $5.1 billion to $9.1 billion in just a decade.
That's pretty great.
Four extra $1 billion.
I like that.
Love it. Well, I mean, we decorate this house. What we find right now are year-round decorations, not just the seasonal. We'll add more each Halloween and put it up, and then it stays up. And Christmas slash
and
Yule
there's,
slash
there's really
winter solstice
no
goes on top of it, but
yeah,
it stays.
There is really no competitive market for Halloween decorations. There really isn't. I mean, Spirit Halloween is the main Halloween market for it. I mean, sometimes Lowe's and Home Depot will have, like, certain little things.
Right.
Or
like, the
Target will have little shit.
12-foot tile skeleton this year.
Yeah. But there's no company like Spirit Halloween that shows up.
There's, like, Christmas Store, or, like, there's so many versions of that, and Hallmark has taken over, and, like, Christmas is such a huge, 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 huge sales opportunity, and something that, like, has its own little industry that, like, Halloween should be and could be capitalized on. Especially in the year of the plague. Why wouldn't we do more of these things? Make them available for all year long. The amount of plague doctor masks in Spirit Halloween is entertaining. All right, all right. It makes sense that alcohol brands, from Sam Adams to Jägermeister to Svedka, want to cash in.
Jäger.
Okay, so this is definitely a industry-ish article that talks about who's doing the what there. Yeah, Jäger is not good.
I fucking love Jäger.
It's not good. It's sweet. It's powerfully spicy. It was created to make people poop.
It doesn't make me poop,
and
though.
The recipe hasn't changed.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. Jäger doesn't, like, hey, all you folks, TMI. Jäger doesn't make me fucking poop. And I am very in tune with my colon. So, I don't know where you're going with this. Jäger's fucking delicious.
No. Incorrect.
I will, if you offer me a shot of Jäger, I will take it.
Sugar. With in alcohol. Water. Consumption
sugar in water
leads to hangover. The not amount hangover. Of sugar in Jäger
doesn't hang me over
is asking for
nope.
a hangover.
Nope, I felt great. My mom and I, wildest night ever, right before my 28th birthday, my mom and I did like six total shots of Jäger. Felt great the next day. Had a wonderful time. We before talked about
which
vibrators.
Birthday? Before which birthday?
28.
Sorry, folks. Oh, this most recent one.
Yeah, this most recent birthday.
Just know.
Jäger broke the barrier between my mom and I, and we talked about vibrators. It was wonderful. It was really great. Aww. Yeah. Good mommy-daughter bonding.
Sexual health is
trying
important.
To get my mom laid.
What are we talking about?
Alcohol.
Vibrators!
You mentioned Jäger. I got really excited.
Alcohol! On Halloween! Maybe the shift was inevitable. October, with its association with Oktoberfest, has always been synonymous with suds. I think that's a hilarious word.
Suds.
And as the season change, there's certainly a greater tendency to huddle inside heated homes with an adult beverage. It's backed up by data. Every year since 2004, individual Google searches for both wine and liquor have spiked in October and stayed sky high through the holidays. So while we've been drinking around the wintertime holiday for a long, long, long time, it creeped up, and now October is when it starts, and it goes straight through. I know, speaking from the wine industry, that we call the end of the year OND, October, November, December, because that, in the booze industry, money made in those months can sustain the entire year. Those profits are what keep businesses going the entire rest of the year. And when I was on a ladder rung up in the system, it became SOND, which is September, October, November, December, because you have to be like a season ahead at that level. So the money backs it up, for sure. Not a single beer or liquor company could share concrete October sales figures with Fine Pear. But with all the aforementioned brands running some sort of Halloween-themed promotion in 2017, many have for several years, it's pumpkin. Safe to assume the holidays presents economic opportunity.
Yeah, pumpkin and mead are huge. Like, you put those words on anything and people are going to lose their minds.
Pumpkin, spiced, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Only grows every single year. Yep. I know we were listening to, was it you?
No, it was the Bim Bam. We were listening to my brother
talking about
pumpkin spice mac and cheese in Canada. Pumpkin spice craft dinner.
There's a wait list.
It's fucking disgusting. Like, no.
They're gross. Putting pumpkin spice in too many things now. It's terrifying. It's going into things that were never meant to have anything
along
the way.
People want this.
But at the same time, I remember reading an article about how pumpkin spice and how it's hated on as like, man, it's bash. A lot of guys saying that's a pumpkin spice latte girl thing is terrible. But I read an article talking about how pumpkin spice is the traditional fall spice, like cinnamon
and nutmeg. Cinnamon, nutmeg, and allspice.
And it's something that is traditional in the baking realm. This time of year, so it became a reclamation of, instead of me staying in the kitchen to make this for my family or guests or whatever. It became something more of something that I am going to indulge in and consume myself. So, like, there was this whole, like, feminist side of reclaiming fall spices, not this, like, seasonal thing to bash on people for, but actually something that was traditional this time of year and something that we could enjoy without actually having to put the labor in. And I thought that was kind of cool.
Craft dinner. Cool. Sorry, it's just...
Yeah. No, like... But that you, being a phrase, KD being a thing, is like,
what? Justin McElroy of My Brother and Me saying both pumpkin and Kraft dinner. Well, he kept saying Kraft dinner and KD pumpkin. Is the funniest thing. Pumpkin. The way he says things is so great.
It's true. It's pumpkin true. Spice. We are huge
pumpkin
McElroy stands here on the best. West Podcast.
I went on a date. I didn't tell you this, and I will tell you now live for everyone here. I went on a date with a very amazing woman, socially distanced. She's really great. She's like the cute, adorable Leslie Knope in my life right now. And she was stage manager for Clint McElroy, the McElroy father. Yeah. They met. He was teaching at her school, and he thought she was really cool, and he's like, hey, can you come work with me? And she's like, yeah, sure. And she stage managed the premiere of his first show that he was debuting. Yeah. Yeah! That was my reaction. And I was like, was he as cool in person? She's like, he's the ultimate dad.
He seems like he's the so nicest, daddest human being
so
ever.
So sweet. The way he approached her was just like, hey, you gonna come work for my show?
Hey, you're like, cool.
Yeah.
Wanna come?
Hey! Yeah. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I was like, you guys are so sweet.
So super dope. What are we talking about? Drinking on Halloween. And how that's a big, big thing now.
Yeah.
Halloween is a huge occasion for 21 to 29-year-olds. Christopher Dunn, Masked Jägermeister's U.S. brand manager, told Vine Parent and Nemo. Millennials in particular are spending big for Halloween booze in 2017. Projections could be assumed for 18 and 19. Not this year, though. For consumers eager to wear their thirst on their sleeve, there's no shortage of liquor-fueled costumes on the market.
Yes! You can... Oh my god. I saw a chick once that had a sippy straw at a Halloween party, had a sippy straw coming out of her tit. And she kept, like, all night going. And she had a wine bag fashioned into her costume.
Hey, remember that one time we built a cosplay where you pretended you were pregnant so we could bring in
an
entire bag of wine?
I was pregnant Lana. I went to a con as Lana Kane from Archer, but I was pregnant. And it was a bag of fucking wine that I stuck into the stockings. And we just, I was so nervous because it was my first time smuggling an alcohol like that. And I was like, are you going to pat me down? And Yeah. You look like you're fucking pregnant. No, of course not.
No one will touch your belly. So then we immediately went to the bathroom and got the entire bag of wine and stuck it in the backpack. Filled some cups. Good times.
Hey, if a character is pregnant, cosplay as them and use it to smuggle your wine. I actually think a smarter idea of doing that in the future is getting from Michael's the Kraft foam that is a half circle and sticking it in
put
there.
Put anything in there.
Because then it's hard. They can't, like, if they touch it or bump it or they can't see it sloshing underneath the clothing, like, get that and just... I've seen people do that at the movie theater.
Oh, that's
great. Drink smarter, not harder.
Great application outside of cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think Jaeger paid for this article. Jägermeister recently launched print out online origami masks in the shape of a skull, a bat, and predictably a stag because it's the logo. Svedka offered printable costumes in 2015. This year's being the 2017 Halloween push centers on banner ads that haunt people who watch one of the vodka brand's spooky videos. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember that.
Nice. Despite representing only a fourth of drinking age adults, millennials account for about a third of overall spirits consumption. For these drinkers, seasonal, Halloween-appropriate liquor offerings abound. There's Captain Morgan's pumpkin-shaped Jacko Blast.
Delicious.
Spiced rum.
Fucking delicious. The Cannonball rum is way better.
Introduced the previous year.
Yeah.
Pumpkin spice liqueurs from both Kahlua and Bailey's Irish Cream debuted in 2013 and 2016, respectively. And Pinnacle, Hiram Walker, and Bulls all have pumpkin-centric offerings. I can't imagine it needing to be updated from there because there is so much more now.
Are you okay?
Yeah, you said Pinnacle, and I instantly remembered my Pinnacle Whip Night.
We all have that one that if you get a whiff of, will take you back to the time that
I will never
broke your
in
body.
My life touch Pinnacle Whipped. I don't even know if I'll touch Pinnacle again. My head ended up
Sounds
in
like
a sink
challenge.
That night. And here's the thing, folks, if anyone watching is a BIPOC, you know that if you see a black woman with straight hair, do not get it fucking wet. There's a whole moment in Scream Queens where the killer is trying to kill Niecy Nash, and he's trying to shove her head in a toilet, and she's like, not my hair! And
I
like,
just got my hair done!
Whips his ass back.
Literally
and
breaks the door.
The Don't fuck with black women's hair. I'm blasted on Pinnacle Whipped. Freshman year, Halloween. And I came to with my head in a fucking sink, and people were pouring water over me. And ruined it. Ruined everything. I was so upset. I must have looked psychotic going home that night, because obviously, if you know this, if you get straight hair wet on someone like me, it... Oh my god. I am terrified to know what I looked like.
As if it wasn't a walk of shame enough.
It took 2 hours back then to straighten my hair, so that was a waste. You don't do it. You don't fucking do it.
You don't. So, yeah. Why would they think that pouring water over your head would be a fucking answer
fucking
to
know, man.
You being drunk?
I was being cared by other college students.
Other white
college other college students. God, what was the frat house? It wasn't DTD. It was a very shitty frat house. I think it might have been Fiji before they got shut down because a kid died there.
Yikes.
Yeah. Penn State's fucked up.
Woof.
Don't go to Penn State. I mean, they paid for my education, but don't go to Penn State. I must have been hysterical or something. Like, how did they get me on the counter is what I want to know. I was on the counter. It's not like they bent my head over the sink. I was laying across the counter. That was, like, my hangover, like, the movie The Hangover. That was that night where I had to, like, catch people on campus and be like, when did you see me? What was I doing?
Paste together a timeline.
Still have no idea how my timeline works out that night. Don't know how I got home.
That's entertaining.
College.
Woo! Halloween at college.
Oh, shit.
All right. What are we talking about? Sam Adams, for its part, has produced its 20 pounds of pumpkin seasonal brew since 2010. Even though the pumpkin beer category lost some ground in 2016, interest in flavored beers overall has spiked.
Yeah.
According to Technomic, the introduction of flavored beers more than doubled between 2010 and 2015, from 2.4% to 5.3% of total beer launches. I would argue that we have even more because,
yeah,
pumpkin-flavored beers and ciders have just continued to go and go and go. Maybe there was a lull in 2016, but I would say in 2017
especially
and 18, it definitely picked right back up.
Like Dogfish and other places like that. Excuse me, or Trogues.
Well, so I know this from being inside the industry. There are certain allotments that are available for certain regions. There's only so much that they produce, and the really good ones release early to, like, about appropriate time. Like, fucking pumpkin-flavored booze comes out in, like, August.
Yeah.
And September. And by the time October gets here, it could be gone. But there's allocated amounts, and the really good stuff is gone way before Halloween comes around. So the real good ones, and I would say some online reviews, by now we know who makes the good ones. You better get your hands on the good stuff. Schlafly is notoriously one of the best ones.
Yes.
For sure. And then from there, it depends on what you are looking for in your pumpkin beer. Are you looking for it to be high alcohol? Are you looking for it to be very intensely pumpkin sweet?
Like pumpkin spicy.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking for beer that has a hint of the pumpkin spice? Like, that, you got to know what you're looking for.
Yep.
Also, Cider World, Ace Pumpkin Cider is one of the best pumpkin ciders I have ever put
so good
in my mouth.
So good. P.A. So. Renfair started debuting a pumpkin cider, and it was really fucking delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and you can get it in, like, growler form now, I think. If you go up to Mount Hope Estates in Manheim, PA, you can get the ciders without actually having to expose yourself at the run fair.
Love it.
You're welcome, asshole who runs the run fair.
For your plug.
I give you business. I've been giving you business since I was 2.
Millennials can claim 35% of U.S. beer consumption and 42% of wine consumption. This was, again, after Halloween in 2017.
Okay.
Probably gone up since then.
Okay. All right. I'm with it.
Wine labels are now getting in on the action. Black Box Wines told VinePair that merely wrapping its wines in Halloweenified packaging resulted in a huge boom in sales.
Is Apothic on this list?
They don't talk about it here.
Damn.
But they should be mentioned.
Yeah. I'm a sucker for any wine that has a spoopy theme.
Yes.
I'll pick it up and I'll drink it.
Yes. In October 2016, sales of wines in Black Box's limited edition Halloween sleeve soared above its monthly average. More tellingly, 2016 October sales were 49% greater than the previous October's. It almost went up a whole 50 fucking percent in 1 year. And this season's numbers are tracking to be even more successful than the last. So, like,
yeah.
Yo, wrap it in some spoopy shit.
People are gonna eat it up.
Yes.
That's how it works now.
Especially because I think the parties, like the house parties, the theme parties, themes, all of that, you bringing something Halloween packaged as a gift or a contribution.
It adds to the aesthetic of the party. Like, it makes it better.
Yes. Halloween is newer in wine, says Jamie Schoenenberg, Black Box Wine's Vice President of Marketing. You'll see some spirits brands leaning into the holiday, but over the years, as more pumpkin limited editions come out, it's increased the way in which adult beverages can be a part of the holiday. It's a way of positioning Halloween as a little more grown up. Look at this Jägermeister stag mask that they have.
I want it!
That was the origami
stuff I want
they
it.
Had available.
That's so dope!
As masks.
Fuck yeah,
that's really cool.
Is Jaeger racist? I gotta find out if they're like, if I can still support them.
I mean, it's very.
It's German.
German?
And Germans are usually trying to stay away from that now.
Yeah, they've done a whole.
They've done a real good job of trying to stay away
from racism. A real good job of moving away from that.
Yeah.
Could there be something else at play here, though? Are we consumers being collectively infantilized? Is this the liquored up equivalent of 90s nostalgia? A desire to trick or treat like we did in simpler days?
Yes.
Except this time we're wasted?
Yes.
Yes.
Life is terrible. The world is on fire. Of course.
Given the ways that nostalgia marketing heavily targets millennials, it doesn't seem like an unreasonable jump. This is a generation accustomed to upheaval, from unceasing tech advances to political tumult. There could be something comforting about donning a Miller Lite costume, popping a bottle of Halloween, and playing make-believe for a few hours.
Yeah.
Regardless of the reason, one thing is clear. Boozy Halloween is officially a thing. We'll raise a spooky cocktail to that.
Hell yeah.
That's the article.
I think that's the thing is that when we graduate from... Also, thank you so much. That was beautiful. Good job. Dre, everybody.
I can read articles good. Some of the time.
No, you pick some really good shit to present. I really like it. I love it. But
I thought it was a good way to ease into the whole month, because it's only going to get, like,
bigger and better from there.
Yeah.
That was good.
There's so much this time of year. But I love that they brought that around to this whole, like, we're craving the joys of what we hopefully enjoyed as children, but just doing it all fucking drunk.
I think it's something to be said about us as humans, whether people want to deny their own innate role-playing and dressing up and things like that. It doesn't necessarily have to be sexual, but human beings, we always wanted to play pretend as kids.
Right, it's that escapism. It's that ability to put on a different skin and be someone else for a period of time.
So that's the thing about Halloween, is the escapism, being able to escape, being able to be someone else or something else, or for me, I, with my anxiety and my issues with, like, I have severe social anxiety. When I put on a costume, I'm a completely different person.
Yeah.
It changes you. It gives you a confidence. It gives you a boost. It makes you feel better than who you are. And also at Halloween, everybody's being weird. So if you're in costume, like the picture we shared for the episode for our Halloween costumes, it's like I dressed up as Nadja. It gave me excuse to be fucking weird like everybody else with my bangs. There's a photo of me in a giant box in the front yard of someone's house just going, and like, that's fun. And you can't do that on a daily basis.
Or you get weird looks.
You know, it's a day, especially for those of us who like cosplaying and dressing up and still love costuming, it's a day where everybody's the same way.
Right.
Everybody wants to be.
Well, anybody who is weird or anybody who likes to do any kind of role play or dress up or any of that, again, with that whole you being able to be a different person, it's like getting a role or a character is you're able to, first of all, pick who you want to be so you can identify and project the things that you want to in that occasion, but it gives you that opportunity to step outside of yourself, and that gives a lot of people a lot more room to be able to overcome a lot that keeps them in their normal
boxes of the world. Like, we have these social boxes that we stay in all year, and to quote The Purge, it's like one night of release, you know?
Well, and then also a really, really great Halloween story of ours is sometimes it emboldens you to take no shit on a level that you may not have done previously. Ooh, like, we...
Let's tell that story.
Almost always are in a place of we don't take no shit. Yeah. But the one year... We were psycho clowns.
Before we get into that, I want to address how you didn't get to celebrate Halloween and being free to do it in your adulthood. It is, you're made to believe it's kind of a bummer because you missed it as a kid, but it's really not a whole lot to miss. The costumes were itchy and tight and awful and made of plastic, and it sucked.
Right.
Being an adult and experiencing Halloween is so, so much better.
Yeah, so much more fun. You get to pick everything. Fun. You get to pick your environment by the party at which you're at. You get to pick how you want to enjoy it. You get to pick your costume. It's not limited by what you're allowed to do or what budget someone says that you have to do it. You do whatever you want, and you get to be whoever you want. Yep. And usually, the people we run circles with, Halloween is not one party night of the year. There's always the weekend around it, whether it occurs on a weekend or a weekday. If it's a weekday, you get the weekend before, and you get the weekend after. Halloween is
so much more.
Sometimes, for some of us, the entire month of October. So, giving you ample opportunity to enjoy all the best parts of it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if you like being scared, there's an abundance of haunted houses and hayrides and whatever else you want to be a part of.
If you don't want to be scared, pumpkin patches.
Apple picking.
Cider there's tasting.
So much beautiful fall activities that are associated with this time of year that once we get past Halloween, unfortunately, gets kind of overshadowed by this holidays. Race to Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the shopping and all the obligations to family. Like, there's a lot about fall that, to me, Halloween really gets at, where there's no commitment and it's about enjoying yourself and soaking up this time of year, because as our planet continues to die, it's a shorter and shorter window to be able to enjoy the colors and the fall cool weather before it gets too cold. Like, there's a lot that used to be spread out and now it's kind of condensed, and this year is going to be harder than ever because we can't, I mean, outdoors is a better environment, but we can't have those gatherings that we really thrive on. So
do we want to round out with our crazy Halloween story?
Oh my god, yeah.
You guys ready for a ride?
The year of the psycho clowns. Why you would choose to antagonize two women who are obviously feisty and dressed up as psycho
murder
killer clowns?
There's blood on my face.
Why you think that those are the ones you want to take on in your fucking drug-induced haze of anger is beyond me. You should have picked someone else because we were not the ones.
So, scene. Shitty bar in Herndon, Virginia. Used to work there. Got the job by flashing a titty. Kind of proud, kind of not proud of
that. Costume contest with a decent amount of a prize money, which is something that we, as cosplayers, like, we can run.
It was $500.
We will run that
shit. So, they never announced what time they're doing the contest.
They're
never
doing, like, the lead-up, the prelims, the couples, the this, the that, the subcategories of...
Yeah. They never announced when they were doing the judging. So we were late because of an individual who's not here among us anymore, which I'm still pissed about because she cost us the prize money, not gonna lie. We were running late. We get there. We're dressed as Pennywise. I'm Pennywise. You're Harley.
Clockwork Harley.
Clockwork Harley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We get there. Party's meh. Store-bought costumes. I mean, but people looked great. They looked good. I'm not going to knock you for having a store-bought costume. Because
right.
I'm not that asshole. And like, people, you're having a good time in costume.
Not too many people, but the people who were there were having a good time.
Yeah.
That started to devolve over the course of the night to being, like,
shitty.
Just the shitty, wasted people.
Yeah. So, we lost the costume contest to a guy wearing a robe and a woman who was wearing a very revealing outfit. Okay. That's fine. I was pissed, mainly because they never announced when the judging was, because so many people came up to us and were like, oh my god, you should have won. Oh my god. Like, what the fuck? And I'm like, you know what, whatever. Like, I love being in bars on Halloween. I love the costumes. I love meeting people. There are certain costumes that turn me on, so I was like, cool, I'm here, whatever.
It wasn't a wasted night, but it was extremely frustrated the way that they handled it, that we got shafted on the whole thing.
Because we needed the money. We really did need the money at the time. Mm-hmm. So...
Still do.
Still do. We walked outside, which thank you everybody for subscribing.
Yes. Thank you. Big hearts.
Walk outside. You're on the phone.
Yes.
With this other person. You're on the phone with them.
Because they've left to go get a booty call. Taking the house key that has a knife attached to it.
I didn't know this.
Which is,
I
told everybody, house key, knife attached to it, putting it in my little, like, cod piece as Clockwork Orange version of Harley Quinn. I've got that on me. That's what's going on. So Sammy,
I do not know the knife is gone,
is under the understanding that I still have a fucking piece in my piece.
Yeah.
I, however, know that I have given it to this other person in order for them to go get a booty call that never happened.
Yeah. So I come outside. I'm frustrated. There's a little opening. No one's in the opening, so I'm not throwing something at a person, but I took my severed arm that I had as my prop,
right.
And I toss it into the opening, because I'm frustrated. This guy, who I think he was dressed as a prisoner, because he had, like, a jumpsuit tied around his waist.
Right. It might have been Orange is the New Black, might have been Prisoner, something along
fucking
those
lines. So, he's like, oh, is it gotta be like that? Come on, girl, smile. Like, he's saying this stupid shit. And out of character for me, I go, sir, it's not a good night. Please stop. Oh, it's gotta be like that, man. I don't know why she gotta be like this. Like, why she gotta be up, man? I'm just trying to talk. This one's on the phone. I don't even...
At which point, I was like, excuse me, I'm on the fucking phone. We don't want to talk to you. Why don't you go the fuck away?
He starts escalating.
He's got his boys with him.
I turned... I don't know if you remember seeing me do this, because I was like this, and I go, mother, and I just go off, and I'm screaming at
all of the frustrations that had been happening earlier in the night literally boiled up and spewed out of her mouth at this waste of a human space.
Only a few people have heard me yell at the degree that I yelled that night. Like, I was going into hoarse, like barking voice. Like, it was rough, and I'm like yelling, no means no, asshole, and I'm bucking at him, like, no means no, what you gonna do? Like, I'm going off in his face, and I'm like, you need to go away when a lady tells you to go away, and I'm just screaming and screaming and screaming, and then he's in my face screaming, and he's grabbing his, like, under area like he's grabbing a gun, and he's like, we can take care of this, I'm gonna take care of this, what you gonna do? And, like, it's
get your boys
very heated.
Get your boys and we'll stomp them.
Get your boyfriends, I'll stomp your boyfriends.
In which case, we don't need no fucking men.
No.
If you wanna go down, if you need a fucking altercation, we are here. We're ready for this shit.
He goes, let's go across the street, I'm gonna call someone. And I go, who are you gonna call, the Ghostbusters?
Yeah. At which point, I definitely laughed. Because I'm like, okay, so Sammy is like, she got a piece in her piece. I've had enough of this. We're shutting this shit down. Little did we know these men were on fucking
drugs
and literally assaulted people.
Later that night. They assaulted people.
So they continued to fucking cause problems with us. And at that point,
oh God,
I'm off the phone and I'm backing her up. Yeah. I know that there is no knife on my person, but I also know that these hands are weapons enough, and we are going to take this as far as it's got to go. We were so ready to throw down in those streets.
Yeah. If you're going to threaten me, let's go. Like, he kept threatening me, and I was like, do what you're going to do. If you're going to threaten me, do what you're going to fucking do. Then his buddy, who kept trying to have a calm conversation with you,
would turn to me and be like, oh, I don't know why we have this problem. You need to get your friend. You need to get your girl. We're going to calm this down.
Ain't nobody
blah, 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 blah. But then, after being done talking, his white ass done being talked to me, would turn to her.
And start, he's like, you don't know me. I'll fucking kill you. I'll fuck you up. You don't know me. You don't know what I can do. You should be scared right now. These are things he's saying in my face.
And I can fucking hear this shit. Yeah.
He took a pill in the middle of it.
They did. They either talked about the drugs that they were going to be doing, or they fucking did.
No,
like,
he took a pill in my face as he was saying.
And then
like,
continued to be insanely erratic. At which point, I think is when, inside the bar, they noticed what was going on.
They could hear the screaming.
Yeah, we were fucking at the top of our lungs, giving literally no ground on this sidewalk, so ready to physically fight this group of
dressed as clowns, covered in blood.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we, very clearly, not the ones, but if you are that fucking high and you need that lesson, we were willing to provide it.
Like, I just kept saying over and over, no means no. No means fucking no. Because I told him no, and he wouldn't stop.
Right.
And then he keeps fucking threatening us. And then...
I think that was part of the narrative of things that I was screaming out of. Like, if you can't fucking take a no from, a person.
Yeah.
A person. If you can't leave a woman alone because she says no, then, like, you've got fucking bigger problems. Yeah. And I'll teach you how to listen to no. And, like, we were going off.
So I think at one point, they kept backing up.
Yeah.
He backed up across the street.
Yeah.
And then the owner of the bar came out.
Right.
And she was like, what the fuck is going
on? She's like, what is going on?
And I'm calmly explaining to her what happened. And the guy's another buddy who never said anything. He was high, like, he was smoking weed literally on the property.
Which was not legal at the time. One of the reasons why she came out. She was like, who? I can smell it. Whoever's smoking weed on my property,
get the fuck out. Get out. So he's like, man, you didn't have to say anything back. And I was like, no. I can say whatever the fuck I want to say. You, as his friend, need to get your boy.
Yeah.
Because he should not be speaking to a woman that way.
Hello.
You need to tell him, hey, buddy, no, back off. She doesn't want to talk to you.
She just doesn't want to talk to you. And then her friend further enunciates the fact that she doesn't want to talk to you. And then this whole thing spirals out from there because you can't bear the fact that you were told, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to engage with you. You said it nicer than you have to any man who was commanding your fucking business. The first time he said something, you were like, listen, tonight's not the night. Like, and he had to be all, oh,
I've never been that nice.
That? Oh, what do you mean? I'm just trying to talk to you. Why won't you talk to me? What do you mean you're not going to fucking talk to me? And that's when I went off. And the whole thing just went into chaos.
I literally was ready. He's threatening to kill me, and I thought there was a knife, and I was like, let's go, and there was none.
And so. I had no knife. The bar owner was a lady.
Amazing person.
She, the second she was like, I'm gonna call the police, whoever's smoking weed, get the fuck out, blah, 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 and they fucking high as fucking
cockroaches.
Scattered off to cause whatever mayhem. They fucking assaulted someone that night. And she was like, ladies, I'm so sorry. We had, like, we were like, yeah, we just came here for the costume contest, which, by the way, was totally fucked up. And we, like, we got to tell her a little bit about that, and she was like, I'm so sorry.
She's like, they didn't even
announce. She took ownership of, like, the fact that that was fucked up. But then she was like, can we walk you to your cars? I know that this is, like, unfortunate. Like, did you drive? Can we get you a cab? No, you drove. Can I walk you to your car? Like, totally trying to make this better than how it panned out. They were hanging around.
And I was like, I need y'all to walk us.
We were like, you know, normally not, but I'm going to take you up on it because they are not okay. Like, they're fucking high.
I'm not going to have to deal with the police tonight. That was one thing. I don't want the hassle of dealing with the police.
Right.
So, Halloween is wild.
So then we drove home.
Halloween is a drunken, drug-infused, chaotic mess for some, and sometimes it can be really great, and sometimes it can be terrible, but you should know not to fuck with women dressed as killer clowns.
We thought that that would be
enough.
Kind of a given, inherent. Like, I think that was when Nun came out, too. And I was like, do you not see this face paint and think maybe not the ones you want
to
fight
in the
street?
Why would you try to mac on the person? Like, I had blood dripping down my mouth and just bleh all over myself. Because I don't want to talk to you.
Do not engage the clowns that do not want to engage you. Also, if a lady says she doesn't want to talk to you,
she doesn't want to talk to you.
Anyone says they don't want to talk to you, how about move it along?
So, yeah, thank you. Thank you all for being here and enjoying our stories. We're going to have more Halloween goodies coming next week. This has been an episode of the WowTA Podcast. You've been listening to Sandy and Drea. We are on all social medias as the WowTA Podcast. That's W-A-W-T-A. If you have any questions, concerns, want to tell us something to talk about, want to join us on the podcast, email us at thewowtapodcast@gmail.com.
Or find us on Facebook. We have a group. Send us a message there. Or find us on Twitter. Or find us on Instagram.
We're everywhere.
Message us on any of the platforms. Yep. Also, if you become a patron on Patreon, we have bonus content. We have all of last year's episodes available there where we get into way more Halloween topics.
Huge.
And you get an opportunity at some tiers to be able to participate in the podcast with us. So definitely check out our Patreon, House of the Slither Sisters.
Yes.
S-L-Y-T-H-E-R. The rest is sisters. Normal spelling.
Yeah.
Sisters on Patreon. And then also all the social medias. This isn't the only thing that we do as a project together. We create a lot of other content. Hopefully you will be inspired to check out the rest of the stuff that we do.
Our intro is Come Out and Play by Darren Curtis. We'd like to give a special shout out to the Watch If You Dare podcast, as well as the C3 podcast and Ego, Everybody Gets One podcast. So be sure to check them out, give them a follow, give them a listen, send them a like. And if you can, send us a review. We love reviews. We're on Podchaser. So thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, we get a boost if you give us a rating, but especially if you write something in there. You can put literally anything in there. It doesn't matter. It bumps the numbers in the algorithm, and we appreciate more exposure because I want our international list to continue building. All previous year, we got really excited about our group of Australians. I think we got Bolivia. Up to 16 Australians that were listening, and I wanted to know how they knew each other, if they did, all the connections there. So definitely, if you appreciate us, rate us, review us, spread us to all of your people who are also weird and like talking about interesting and strange and wild things.
Yeah.
So yeah. So yeah.
Hey, Drea.
Hey, Sammy. WowTA!